All right, guys, welcome to the DSJNP.com podcast. This is the WrestleCast for this week. I appreciate you guys listening. Please, please subscribe to us wherever you listen on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen. Please subscribe to us. Rate us at the end if you like us, please. Give us some feedback at DSJNP.com at gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook.com/DSJNP. This one was a little bit rough. My equipment failed on me. Don't worry. I have some new equipment. Just ordered it last night. Coming to us. So if you can, please, please be patient with this. It's a little cut up. You're going to notice a little bit here and there. But it was a great, great WrestleCast with my twin brother Matt and his good buddy Exodus. So please take a listen. I appreciate it. Have a great week. Once again, DSJNP.com podcast proudly presents the WrestleCast, episode 5, with Matt and Exodus once again. Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, man. How about yourself?
Not bad. It's a little late, but, you know, it is what it is. At least we're doing it on time. At least we're doing it on the right day this time. So instead of breaking in, we're not going to break anything down. I don't think we're going to do that format anymore. I don't think we're going to do that. What do you guys think? We're just gonna hit some topics and move from there. I don't think we need to break down. People watch Raw. People understand Raw. People know what happened. People are interested in our opinions of what happened, but we don't necessarily need to break down the actual Raw itself. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, that's cool with me, man. Hey, it's your show. We just follow suit.
Just follow suit. Well, if you want to follow suit, you can follow Exodus at XEDUS4JC on Twitter. DSJNP on Twitter, DSJNP.com, @gmail.com, Facebook.com/DSJNP. Please follow. Please let us know how we're doing. Subscribe wherever you listen to, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever. Please subscribe and listen to us each and every week because we are here for you. All right, guys. First topic up for debate. Let's do, you know what, since I promised last week, and we didn't get to this last week because we were running way over, let's do, give me your top three favorite entrances of all time. So I want to know your top three favorite entrances since, last week Countdown was your favorite, everyone's favorite entrances, on the WWE Network. I want to know what your favorite entrances are. So Exodus, we'll go to you first. What are your top three, or just, you know, not necessarily top three, just three favorite entrances of all time? Give them to me.
Yeah, I'd say top three. We were talking about this the other day. Randy Orton's old entrance, when he was just this cocky, preppy guy, and he had the firework waterfall thing come down, and then he would, you know, spread his arms out. I like that. I'd say Sting coming down from the rafters.
Stan coming down from the rafters.
Sorry, Owen Hart fan.
You ain't got to be sorry. It's a joke.
When he had a successful attempt coming off the rafters. Anyway, I say legitimately LFD. I remember as a kid, I just loved watching the Road Warriors. Yeah. Come out there, man. They have those big chest pieces on. Spikes, man. I just loved it every time. It never got old.
All right. Cool. Cool, X, man. Hey, Matt, what about you? What's your top three entrances?
All right. Three best entrances of all time. Number three would have to be The Rock when his music hit, If You Smile. You know, the crowd got hyped up, and the way he entered the ring, when he crossed the ropes, instead of going in the ring, he came across the ring on the on the side of it and then raise his hand on the outside. I think that was very, very unique and different for what he sort of started that technique. Number two would have to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. Nobody had a better ring, I believe, music, because when that glass broke and it shattered and you heard it, you knew somebody was going to get some ass whooping going on.
Yeah, what was the old saying that he used to say all the time? He used to say, when you hear the glass, you know it's your ass.
And then number one by far would have to be The Undertaker. When those bells tolled, then the dry ice flew out of there and crossed the ring, and it looked like he floated all the way down the ring and then brought the lights up with his eyes rolling in the back of his head like he had some kind of power over the arena. That was a really good entrance, probably the best in the business right there.
Yeah, I think Countdown gave it number one. I think it was voted number one. The Rock didn't even make it. Sting didn't make it. I have to say my favorite one was actually the Triple H one where he threw the sledgehammer through the glass and it smashed. They had that mirror thing going on the stage, and that was really cool. The John Cena, it was like 27, I think, or something like that. It was the one in Atlanta. We went to WrestleMania. I like that John Cena because I remember you singing to it. Like, oh, yeah, listen to them. They're singing. Yeah, yeah. You know, I like those. But probably my favorite of all time is probably going to be Undertaker, too. I mean, it most likely won that Countdown by a long shot, because it's pretty much the bee's knees. I can't think of anybody else who has a better consistent entrance going on than The Undertaker. It's so good throughout the years, and it's changed, and it's gotten bigger, and it's gotten smaller, and he's done motorcycles, and he's run to the ring, he's walked to the ring, he's done everything, and that's the great thing about The Undertaker, he's always changing. So with that, what do you guys think about the new 30-man battle royal? You win the giant battle royal, the longest name of a wrestling match ever in history. 30-man battle royal giant tradition or something. Anyway, Hulk Hogan came out and announced it on Monday Night Raw. What do you guys think? You guys, who's going to be in it? Who's going to win it?
I thought, to be honest, I thought it was sort of dumb. I thought they should have put maybe a number one contendership on there or something like that until Exeter started talking to me more about it. And he'll give his opinion here in a minute. But initially what I thought was it was stupid. And that's exactly what happened with the Royal Rumble, except you don't get no little trophy of Andre the Giant. So, honestly, that was my first reaction. I was like, what? I was like, I think it's kind of cool that they're getting all the wrestlers out there in the ring and everybody gets to be viewed on WrestleMania, but I think it's kind of silly, to be honest, with the trophy. I think something else should be up for grabs, like a number one contendership, but...
You don't think the trophy's enough? You don't think the trophy's just good enough?
No, I personally don't. Okay. But here's X just to give his opinion.
What you got, X?
Yeah, man, I was actually pretty pumped about it. You know, watching past WrestleManias, and I know you are probably more aware of this, Matt, forget stuff. But, like, you're probably aware of the fact that in the history of WrestleMania, it's not always been consistent, but there's been battle royals that have opened up WrestleMania in the past.
Yes.
And I remember WrestleMania, I think it was 13 or 14, whenever LOD, I don't know why I keep mentioning them so much, but LOD did LOD 2000, and they had Sonny as their manager for a short period of time there. They won a tag team battle royal that opened up WrestleMania that year.
They were the secret team that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was a year, 2 years later, I want to say it was like maybe 20 or something like that, 19 or 20, I think it was 20. They did a Legends battle royal where the Iron Sheik and Michael Hayes and people that were just really needed to do Weight Watchers or Slim Fast or something, did this whole battle royal. And I want to go back, and that's the good thing about the network, I can go back and watch that moment now because I missed it. Not that I think that it's going to be this great classic thing to watch,
but it's
I like nostalgia.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely watch it. So I was thrilled with the fact that they announced this battle royal, And, like, you know, I told Matt, and I think this was what made him kind of think differently about it. I was like, dude, no one else is going to be able to say that that person can go around. Cause he was like, oh, well, it should be another contender or something like that. I was like, nah, it needs to be different. Cause that's what, you know, that's what Royal Rumble is. And this way, that one person can come out there and they have bragging rights that they are the Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner. No one else is going to be able to say that unless they do this again. You know, so I think it's a pretty cool idea. It's very unique. I think it's different. I agree with you. The name is extremely long, which makes it lose its luster a little bit. Who wants to say all that? But
yeah.
At the same time, I like it. I think it's a great idea.
So, okay, I've heard a couple of rumblings. Again, I listened to a podcast, AWWIR, a weekend review, and a couple of people have mentioned the fact that they think that Hulk Hogan is going to win the first Memorial Andre the Giant Royal Rumble. Now, there was one person that said the Giant, Big Show, should win the first inaugural Andre the Giant 30-man Battle Royal. Who do you guys think should win it? Because it's such a unique thing at this point. If it becomes a huge deal, then it's going to mean something eventually, you know, like, you know, Money in the Bank or whatever. But I don't know if the 30-man Battle Royal is the way to go at something different, the way to get everybody out there. But who do you guys think should win it? The first one. X, well, who do you think should win first?
I would agree with that. I think it would be cool if Big Show won it. You know, what better person to, you know, when he came into wrestling, I mean, I remember WCW trying to sort of sell him as the new Andre.
Yeah.
You know, like, what better person to win, you know? I think it would be a great idea. But this is, so that's my pick of who I'd like to see win it. This is my pick of who I think is going to win it. You know, I don't want this person to win, but I think the person who's going to win is going to be Big E.
You think so, really?
I think they're going to take a steamy dump right over this thing, and Big E's winning.
Wow.
You know, he'd be able to say, I don't want him. You know, I don't want him.
Yeah.
Talks about
yeah,
him.
You don't like his physique. He freaks you out a little bit.
No.
He does look a little weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It's creeping me out, man. I have nightmares. I don't want him to win, but I think he's going to win. So I think they want to be able to say, oh, he's Intercontinental Champion, and he's Andre the Giant Battle Royal winner. I think they just want to be able to stack all this stuff on him so they can try to legitimize him and convince people like me, skeptics, that, or a skeptic in this case, that he's a good wrestler and that he's legitimate, he's a superstar.
Yeah.
But I don't buy it.
So okay.
That's where I'm at.
All right, Matt, where are you at? Who do you think is going to win it? Who do you think should win it? Who do you think is going to win it?
I agree with what you said. The Big Show should win it.
I agree.
And for the pure fact, that nobody in that entire WWE roster could legitimately, if this shit was real, could legitimately throw him over the top rope. There's nobody that could legitimately do it. That's the reason why he should win, and he's going to win.
Oh, okay. So you're both. You're like, he's going to win, and okay. All right. A lot of the opinion of the Hulk Hogan was because he... which I didn't know this. Did you guys know this, that Hulk Hogan has never been at a bicentennial year? Not bicentennial. I'm sorry. Is it centennial every 10 years? He wasn't at 10, and he wasn't at 20. So he has never been in good standing with the company while we've been in one of these big anniversary years, except for this one, which makes a lot of, well, some people think that he's going to win this because he's never been at one. He did headlined the first one. The third one, the one that the big one they always talk about, the third one where he actually picked up Andre the Giant and body slammed him, the first time anybody had ever done that, he was the main event on that one too. So a lot of people think that he's going to come in. Big Show's going to be one of the last ones in there, and then Hogan's going to come in and throw the Big Show out, and then he's going to win. I hope not. I hope Big Show wins because I think he deserves to win. I think if he won, it would probably make him cry. Like, legitimately cry other than this crappy cry he's been doing lately. Well, you know, a couple months back. So I do. I like the fact that the Big Show should win. I think the Big Show should win. And Matt, you're right. He should win just the fact that nobody legitimately, at least nobody that's going to be in that ring is going to be able to throw him out.
All right. So is Hogan actually entering this thing, or are they just saying
that's,
that right
it's
now?
Just speculation right now. I don't think he's going to. I think he looks really in really rough shape right now. I don't think he's feeling good. I think he's really beat up. I think he's had a million back surgeries, and he's just not going to do it.
Doesn't he walk around with a glorified icy hot patch?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
It's like a Uber icy hot.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I would look for some names. I would look for some NXT guys. I would look for some Hall of Famer guys. I would look for some ridiculous guys like El Toro or whatever. But
you know my boy Alexander Rusev or whatever his name is. He's going to be in there.
Yeah, he'll probably be in there, which is, oh, my God. You guys want to talk about him real quick? We can talk about him.
He's one of my picks, too.
Why in the world are they building a guy while they're going to WrestleMania that they're not going to use in WrestleMania? Why are we not using that time on a weekly basis to put it towards
the WWE,
WrestleMania?
Man, doesn't make sense.
I don't get it. And he's so boring. He was boring in NXT. He's boring in WWE. Now, the chick is hot, but he's boring. So get rid of him and keep the girl.
I think he's the future. he's being sarcastic, but I for real think they're going to show us something.
All right. Well, here's the thing. All right, here's another question I got for you guys. That's actually on the rundown. Who is a – and I got another idea I got from this podcast I listened to. Who is a wrestler that you like to watch, a guilty pleasure wrestler that you like to watch but you would not normally admit it to people? So, like, for me, I like watching Fandango wrestle. I do. I think he is an awesome wrestler. I think he was given a crappy gimmick, and he took it. He made the most of it. They gave him a nice big push at WrestleMania, and then they're like, now here you go. You know, go do your thing. I think he has an amazing leg drop. Do I think the leg drop's going to stay? No, because, you know, you're going to break your bone eventually. You're going to break your tailbone eventually. I do enjoy watching him wrestle. I really enjoy it. He's a very technical wrestler. I can see him having a very, very, very bright future as long as he doesn't get, you know, in with Dolph Ziggler. But what's a guilty pleasure of you guys? What's a wrestler that you guys don't like to admit that you like? Matt, is it really Rusev? It's not really Rusev because you never seen him wrestle.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen him wrestle. That's not why I said it. I kind of like what they're doing with him right now, other than the fact that it's gotten too repetitive. Yeah. But I like the mistake of it. But
so,
that's all.
You like Santino? Do you like to admit you like Santino? I mean, who's a guilty pleasure guy?
Guilty pleasure. That's kind of tough because I typically don't like anybody this way.
Wait a minute. Like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, you would have said Cesaro was whack, but we all like him now.
Yeah, that's true. I'd say Dolph Ziggler.
I don't know if Ziggler would be considered a guilty pleasure because everybody likes Ziggler.
I don't know. I kind of feel like it's a love-hate thing with Ziggler.
Oh, really?
With the WWE. Yeah. With the WWE Universe. I've always liked Ziggler, but I don't think people have always appreciated him. Right now he seems to be wearing, you know, a Dynamic Dude startup kit every time he comes out. You might know a little bit about that. That was the tag team that John Laurinaitis and the franchise were in together back in the NWA. So anybody that doesn't know that, look up Dynamic Dudes.
Dynamic Dudes coming out. Exodus showing his knowledge, dropping some knowledge.
Oh yeah, dude, I got it. I got it son, all day. I would say that, yeah, because I don't think a lot of people have ever really appreciated Ziggler. You and I, we appreciate Ziggler.
I love the fact that Ziggler came from the cheer team or a Spirit Squad. I love the fact that he came from the Spirit Squad. I didn't know where he came from originally. That was part of the gap that I missed, that I wasn't watching. And then I looked him up one day, and I'm like, he came from the Spirit Squad? What? So we actually
did that, and he was Chavo's caddy when Chavo was that white guy.
That's so funny. That is so funny. It's so funny where you see, I mean, and CM Punk last year revealed that he was one of the Undertaker's druids at WrestleMania 27 or something like that, or 26 or something, you know. I like the fact that they do that, that they reveal, you know, I've been here since this, and this is my proof that I did my time. You know, I put up with the crap that I have to deal with. I watched you guys headline WrestleMania while I had to sit on the sidelines because you were holding me back. You know, I like that stuff. All right, man, what's a guilty wrestler that you like, dude?
My guilty pleasure is Daniel Bryant.
We won't talk about Daniel Bryan. We're going to wait. We're going to wait a little bit. Seriously, what's your guilty pleasure?
The Bellas.
Yeah.
You like do you like watching the Bellas? Really?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I didn't.
My
think
guilty
so.
Pleasure is TNA because I like to see car wrecks.
All right, fine. Evidently, Matt doesn't want to answer the question. That's fine.
Because they're a dumpster fire.
They're a dumpster fire. Let's do the Cesaro versus Jack Swagger. All right, guys, what's your opinion on this? Who should win? Matt, we'll go to you first since you don't feel like answering questions tonight. Cesaro versus Jack Swagger. Who do you think should win at WrestleMania? How do you think it's going to play out? I mean, just give me your opinion. Break it down for us.
Is that an actual match that's set up?
They're working on it. They haven't set it up, officially announced it yet, but obviously they're working on it because they keep coming out facing Biggie Langston. They keep losing to Biggie Langston because they keep knocking each other out. From the match. And then this week they got into that little pissing contest in front of announcing table, and Zeb Coulter took his fishing vest off and he looked all pissed and stuff.
This is not a contest. This is straight Cesaro. This isn't even close. Cesaro is in a different league than Jack Swagger.
I don't know about that. Jack Swagger can throw down, man. He can really wrestle.
I agree, he can wrestle, but he's not in Cesaro's league. Cesaro can pick his ass up and slam him. Cesaro's got nothing. I mean, Jack Swagger's got nothing on Cesaro.
Well, once again, we've seen Cesaro over and over again bring up everybody else's game. He brought up Randy Orton's game on SmackDown. He brought up John Cena's game on SmackDown. You don't think he's going to bring up Jack Swagger's game at WrestleMania 30? You don't think they're going to have a clinic out there for everyone to see?
I'm sure it'll be played off that way, but I think, honestly, Cesaro is a much better wrestler.
All right. What do you think, X? What do you think... Cesaro, Jack Swagger, how do you think it's going to play? What do you think is going on?
I think it's going to be a good match. You know, I think it could be the dark horse that sort of steals the show a little bit, or gets a little more attention than a lot of people really thought it would. You know, it's going to be one of those ones that flies under the radar and then surprises everybody. But, dude, it's going to be suplex, backbreaker city, man. That's yeah. What I think. You're going to see two big guys getting flung around like ragdolls for about 15 minutes.
I think it's a good possibility to steal the show. I really do. I think this Brock Lesnar versus Taker is going to be not that good of a match. And I think the Cesaro Jack Swagger is going to steal the freaking show. I do. I believe it's going to bring both their games up.
I don't know, man. This Batista versus Randy looks very intriguing to me.
All right, well, let's talk about the Shield. Let's talk about what's going on with Shield. So the Shield broke up last Monday night, as we talked about, and then they got back together on Friday night SmackDown. So they had a little get together. They aired all their dirty laundry on the air. If you haven't seen it, go to Hulu Plus. You can see it. I'm not going to go over it with you or watch it on YouTube. So they aired all our dirty laundry, and then they came back again. And this Monday, they were going against Kane was all mad at them because they aired their dirty laundry, and then Kane said something about... So they're trying to say... Essentially, they're trying to put the Shield now versus the Authority because the Authority thinks that the Shield is too fractured and they're splitting up and whatever. So the Shield wanted to go out and prove it to themselves that they still are together. So it was... Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins versus Goldust and Cody Rhodes. So what do you guys think is going on with the Shield? Do you guys really think they're going to break up before WrestleMania? We don't have that far to go. We only got, 3 weeks left, right?
Yeah. I thought, man, that it was kind of, you know, I didn't watch Friday Night SmackDown. That's what I have guys like you for. But, like, I didn't really, you know, I thought when you told us that on the last podcast, I was a little upset by that because that's what makes me mad about WWE sometimes. You put in an intriguing element within the storyline, then all of a sudden you take a poop on it. And, you know, like, I just don't get it. Yeah, I mean, think about it, man. they had this, they created this moment in which the glue in Seth Rollins decides that he's going to walk away from, you know, pull a Macho Man and walk away from the match, like the breakup of Megapack in 1989. So, and, so that, and then they just do this little press conference thing or something where they air out the dirty laundry on SmackDown.
Yep.
And they're all cool and hunky-dory again the next week. That's stupid. You know what I mean? I thought the match was good Monday night, but it's like, come on, man, you gotta, you can't just come up with an intriguing element and then just squash it. You gotta keep it going. You gotta keep us interested. Dude.
Well, in real life, in real life, what happens is exactly what they did. They, friends come together and they talk out their problems. So, but that, so what would you have done? Seth Rollins walks away. He's tired of them bitching at each other. He finally walks away from them. What would you have done with the storyline at that point?
You build off of that, you know, some way, somehow you keep it going with him, you know, wanting to, I mean, that you begin the demise of the Shield is what you do. And you set up the three-way at WrestleMania.
All right.
That's what you do.
So you think they should have a triple? A three-way for Ambrose's title at WrestleMania?
Yeah, why not? Throw in that stupid U.S. title and let's see it happen.
Yeah.
I think you make it a table out of chairs is what you do for that. With a table out of chairs for the U.S. title, three-way, Shield.
That would be cool. I would totally enjoy that. Heck yeah.
Might actually happen because I'm pretty sure McMahon listens to this podcast because he got my idea about the Wyatt and the Cena spotlight thing. He's doing that now.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, I was like, keep the spotlight on him. Yes! Matt,
anyway,
what do you think is going on with the Shield, Matt?
What do I think is going on or what do I want to go on?
Both. What do you think is going on? What do you think it's leading to and what do you think should be going on?
What I think is going on is that they're going to end up breaking them up and having a three-way at WrestleMania. What I want to happen is they're going to break them up and have a three-way at WrestleMania.
Okay. All right. Do you think
they're not putting them against anybody right now at WrestleMania. The Wyatts are going to go after John Cena. So the Shield has nothing to do with WrestleMania right now. What else are they going
to
do?
Yeah, you're right. And they keep losing. They keep losing to the Wyatts as a team.
They're going to win. They're going to win the Andre the Giant trophy as one entity.
As one, the Shield, and they break it up into three different parts.
The Shield.
Somebody gets his head, somebody gets his body, and the other one gets his legs.
Right.
All right. Anybody want to talk about Divas?
No.
No? Anybody see the you guys watch Main Event Live, which they're still doing tests to test the bandwidth of the WWE Network?
No.
No? Yeah. No. Okay. All right. All right, so who should be next in the Hall of Fame? Who should be next? You guys tell me. Who do you think should be next in the Hall of Fame?
It's Macho Man.
No, he's not.
Macho Man is not in. You keep asking.
Brother.
Macho Man is not in.
I'd have to say Macho Man, man. He's the last person that Vince McMahon hates that he hasn't put in yet.
Yeah, his brother was on Countdown, too. Lenny Pava, his brother was on Countdown. For the entrances. They interviewed him for the entrances. I thought it was really cool. So,
my other pick is Lex Luger. I think Lex Luger needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, Lex is working with them. He works with their wellness policy. You and I looked that up the other day, remember? When I was visiting you guys on my vacation, remember we looked that up? And he's working with their wellness policy to try to keep guys straight. It's a possibility.
Yeah.
I hope Lex never gets in, really. I never liked that guy. I always thought he was overrated. I can't stand Lex Luger. Never could, never will. He's a jerk.
I think he'd be one of the easiest legends to get on your show. In fact, I do. I think he's a pretty nice guy now. I think he'd do it for like 30 bucks. Buffalo Wild Wings gift card.
And a bottle of pills.
in a free month of Planet Fitness, he'll do it.
Yeah. All right, guys, what do you think about Wyatt Cena? What's going to go on at WrestleMania? Did you like this past Monday? Did you not like it? What could be better? What could be worse? You guys, tell me. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like the little back and forth between the Wyatts and Cena, and Hogan's presence within that back and forth there. I feel like, well, I'll say this first. It was hilarious. You know, Bray Wyatt came out there and did a pretty good job, as usual. I don't think it was his best promo he ever did. Definitely not his worst. I don't think he has a worse.
Yeah.
Like, but
he really does. He really doesn't, honestly. He really does not have a worse promo. He's... God,
yeah,
that guy is good.
Cena definitely played off of Bray Wyatt well, you know, just making fun of him and just the whole Cracker Barrel rocking chair comment. That had us rolling.
Do you think that's the way they should play it off, or do you think they should play it a little bit more serious, like back in the day? Do you think they should play it, you know, good versus evil, or they should play it like this? They should play it like Cracker Barrel rocking chair and stuff.
I think they should play it like this because it's classic Cena for one, and it cuts the tension.
The tension.
It provides the comic relief to it. It really does. Like it, you see Cena at his best and what he does best, and was being able to come up with some cool catchphrase, or not really catchphrase, but just some cool joke. And then you see Wyatt at his best with his kind of spiritual type, death-like promos that he does, and all of his imagery that he puts out there. You know, I thought it was really good. I was thinking about this today, though, and I'll end my part of this segment with this. The thing that's kind of that I feel like is starting to bother me about Bray Wyatt is that ideas get conveyed, but they don't really fully materialize into something. Like, for instance, what I mean by that is there's this, you know, he goes on some tirade like, Cena and the immortal Hulk Hogan in the same ring. I see you. Years later, you'll be trying to hang on. You know, like he'll say stuff like that, and he'll act like that's such a bad idea for them to hang on to their personas and to be, you're lying to these people. But I feel like he doesn't finish those thoughts. Why is it so bad to hang on to who they are? Why is it so bad the messages they're conveying to these people? You see what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like these things, he kind of says these same things every week, but they really don't fully materialize into the deeper reason for why he's saying it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the same thing, I think, why they quit doing this in the back in the day to begin with, because you can say I'm the eater of worlds, but are you really the eater of worlds? Are you gonna destroy everyone? Because if you can back it up, if they're gonna allow you to back it up, then it's awesome. You are the eater of worlds. You are gonna destroy everyone. But if you can't, eventually it's just gonna get old, and we're gonna be like, no, because you're gonna lose to Cena at WrestleMania. Do you guys think he's gonna lose to Cena?
I think he will. I don't want to see him because I have an agenda, and what I want to see...
Don't say it.
Is...
Don't say it. Don't.
Is... it's Bray Wyatt versus Ric Flair at WrestleMania.
You want to see Cena. You want to see Cena flip, don't you?
I want to see Wyatt versus Taker next year. So I want Wyatt to beat Cena so it legitimizes him for Taker next year.
Okay.
That's what I want.
Matt, what do you think?
I think the interaction between Cena and Bray Wyatt was absolute classic last week, or yesterday, or Monday, whenever it was.
Yeah, it was classic.
Bray Wyatt went on a tangent where he was like, you look up, you see heaven, you look down, you see something else, you look into my eyes, you see a God.
Yeah, no,
and
you
Cena
look up, you look up to me.
You see a friend.
Yeah, you see a friend, you look down, you see a... slave or something, an enemy or whatever, and you look into my eyes, you see a god.
Yeah, he said that, and then Cena was directly right. It made no absolute sense because he just told them that Hulk Hogan and Cena were in the ring telling everybody that they were gods,
yeah,
and that they were immortal,
yep,
and then that was wrong.
Yep.
Your
yep.
boy fell apart in his little monologue there. He needed to be corrected by the great John Cena, who decided to pick apart his outfit that I've been thinking about for weeks, because it made no sense to wear a hat with a shirt in the rocking chair and be from the country.
No, it's saying he's saying the same thing. He's saying the same thing. It's always the same thing. He is a god. He's saying that, but it's not okay for everyone else. That's what makes him bad. That's what makes him evil. He's the one that's going to destroy everything. They're lying because they're giving everyone false hope that everything's going to be okay. But it's not going to be okay because he's here to destroy it all. That's what he's saying.
As long as there's three men on this planet in the WWE, The Rock, The Cena, and The Hogan, everything will be okay.
Do you think he's gonna? You think he's gonna beat Cena at WrestleMania?
No, I think Cena's gonna beat him. Actually,
I think Wyatt should win, and I think Cena should go away for a while. That's what
you said. The same thing about the Big Show was gonna go away for a while, and Big Show was here last week.
No, the Big Show did go away for a while. He went away for like 3 weeks right now, and in WWE, that's a long time right now because they're trying to get as many people in WrestleMania to get as many people to watch WrestleMania as possible. So they had to bring him back. But yeah, he was gone for like 3 weeks, and he was on the pre and post show 1 week, and he's been in and out of the ring. I mean, right now he's getting close to his Legends contract. He's getting ready to sign a Legends contract. The Big Show is so. All right. So we heard Wyatt, Cena. Let's move on. Let's see. All right, Taker, Brock. You guys think this is going to be any good? I don't think this match is going to be good. I think this is going to be one of Taker's worst matches. We saw it a long time ago. We saw it at a pay-per-view a long time ago, but we haven't seen it lately. We all know Taker sets up these matches. He has a ring at his house. He goes over with these guys over and over and over and over and over and over again to show what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, what's it going to look like. That's how he gets these matches to almost perfection every time. So he does that, but reports were saying Brock was not going to meet Taker at his house and not going to go over this, but evidently he changed his mind. So do you guys think it's going to be any good? Do you guys think he's going to beat it? Matt, we'll go to you first. Do you think he's going to beat it? Do you think it's going to be any good?
Look, the WWE should be smarter about this, okay? Probably in the middle of Brock's tenure at the UFC, when he left the WWE and went to the UFC, Taker showed up at a couple of his ring matches, okay?
Wait a minute, hang on. Was there, hang on. Let me stop you for a second. He didn't leave the WWE and go to UFC. He left to go to the NFL, remember?
Yes. And but then, he couldn't make it on his team,
correct,
because he sucks, so he had to go to the UFC, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
So, like I said, when he left the WWE and went to the UFC, okay, Taker was at his matches. He was at a bunch in a row, but there was one in particular where Brock left the ring and got in Taker's face, and Taker got back in his face. They should be playing off of that, okay? That shit looked legit. It looked like they really, really didn't like each other. They should be playing off of this, but they're not, because it costs so much for Brock to come out there in the ring and perform because they overpaid for him. They need to play off of something, because right now they're not building anything, and what between Paul Heyman and the Taker had last week was ridiculous.
You mean this? You didn't like that this week?
No, I didn't. I thought it was dumb. Brock needs to be out there talking to the Taker, getting in his face and scruffing him up, or the Taker needs to be scruffing him up. They don't need to be talking to each other like Paul Heyman and the Taker. Nobody wants to hear from Paul Heyman.
I do. I thought that segment was awesome. I thought it was really cool to show how many greats have gone to WrestleMania and not had a streak, or how many losses they've had at WrestleMania. I thought it was really cool. Exodus, what'd you think?
I like the segment this week. I didn't have a problem with that. As far as the match, how that's going to go, I don't think it's going to be the best match we've seen. I'm more inclined, the more I think about it, to be on the same page with you on this one. I think that it's going to not be good. And not because of Taker, but I think Brock's going to not want to cooperate. Brock's there to make money. And yeah, it's okay to make money, but there's a difference in, you know, guys like Cena, who of course are there to make money, but they love what they do too. Brock's not there for that. Brock's trying to get a paycheck. He's not trying to do a whole lot of manual labor. He doesn't want to disrupt his poopy again. I don't know why I'm on that tangent this evening. He doesn't want to mess up his intestines again and all that stuff. He's trying to play it safe. That's why he comes out there and just whacks the Big Show with at 40 lashes of chair shot.
And puts Mark Henry through a table or side barrier.
Right. Like, I mean, his matches, since he's been back, you know, and he's been there for, like, off and on for, like, 2 years now. And has he really wrestled what you could call a legitimate match? Has he really, I haven't really kept up with him. You probably answer that question a little bit more, or better, a lot better than I could, of course.
He hasn't had a real match since CM Punk, which was at SummerSlam, I think. It wasn't that good of a match, and a lot of people didn't like it. CM Punk was hurting at the time, and Brock really wasn't feeling it. That was the end of his contract. That was the last pay-per-view he was going to be on. It wasn't that good. It really wasn't. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Brock. I mean, he does the same thing over and over. His shirt says it all. Because that's all he does. That's it. He comes in, they pump him up with other big guys. They put him against this, put him against that, whatever. I mean, I just don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't care about him.
He's older now, you know, than he was when he first came in. He was a phenom when he first came in, sort of. You know, this young phenomenon,
no,
prodigy, or whatever you want to call it.
He absolutely
but,
was.
You know, he's not the same anymore. You know, like, it's kind of like when he first came in, he was a new Sid Vicious, you know. But he's not that way anymore. And he doesn't, I don't think he truly wants to be there. I'm not convinced that he actually wants to wrestle. I mean, look at how he left the WWE the first time. Him and Goldberg put on that classic match that we all will never forget.
Yeah, stunk up WrestleMania 20. Worst match of WrestleMania history.
Yeah, so, you know, you're trying to tell me that 10 years later you're going to come through and put on a good match with Taker? No, you're going to crap all over that thing.
I don't know, he may do better with Taker because, I mean, Taker is a legend. I mean, he's a legend to us and he's a legend to most wrestlers. I mean, even MMA wrestlers, he's a legend because he knows how to get it done. He really does know how to go in the ring. He can fuck you up. He can. I don't know. Do I want to see Taker beat his ass? Absolutely. I just don't. The whole character of Brock just needs a redo. It just needs a reset. Matt, you didn't answer. Do you think he's gonna beat the streak? You don't think so, do you?
No, no way.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's fooled at all. I do like hearing Paul Heyman. He is on his game lately. Yeah, the pipe bomb wasn't as good as we wanted it to be, but he has been awesome lately. I guess we'll see. All right, last thing we're going to talk about tonight, and then we're going to do a little bit, little game, not a big one, but a little one. Occupy Raw. Saved the best for last. All right, so most of those people that jumped in the ring, in case you guys didn't know, most of those people were actually backstage people. So there are the people that have never really been on TV before. They're the people that help set up the ring. They're the hairdressers. They're a lot of them were. Some of them were fans, but most of them were actual people from the backstage. So they it was kind of like a thank you from the WWE. You know, here you go, get to be in the ring. You get to do your thing. Finally, you get to make a difference here, you know. But I was like snoozing to Raw that night until Occupy Raw happened. And I was like, holy crap, this is different. This is what we needed tonight because I was falling asleep. What do you guys think? Daniel Bryan came in, took over the ring, refused to get out of the ring until Triple H gave him a match versus himself versus Triple H at WrestleMania 30. What do you guys think? X, we'll go to you first.
I thought it was definitely a unique idea, you know, and I think it was good because I was like, okay, so last week it was Hijack and this week it's Occupy. Is this like another stupid hashtag?
Well, no, the Hijack was done by the Chicago fans. That was done by outside. So essentially what they did is they took their idea and used it on TV to get the story through, which was genius. So instead of hashtag hijack Raw, it was hashtag occupy Raw, which I think is awesome.
So, yeah, like, as far as the hijack Raw thing, you know, I thought it was a really creative idea. I was like, wow, we haven't really seen this before. You would have thought that this would have happened, like, a long time ago. And I was definitely interested to see, like, what they were, what was it going to be that would make Triple H want to fight at WrestleMania against Daniel Bryan. I thought it was going to be covering Stephanie in sewage or something. But it wasn't. So I didn't think it was going to be quite yet. I thought they were going to drag it out for one more week. But, you know, you take over the ring and you have a bunch of pedestrians in the ring, you know, like, I guess that's going to do it. You know, he's like, you know, you give someone an ultimatum like that, what else was he going to do? So I think they sold it well, you know, that he legitimately looked mad and, you know, got to that boiling point where he was like, all right, we're fighting at WrestleMania. I like the other stipulation. It kind of, now that it's another stipulation, I kind of just feel like it's spelling it all out for us, though. Like, all right, Daniel Bryan's going to beat Triple H, and then he's going to go in there and he's going to win the triple threat.
But is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing? I mean, we're finally getting, well, maybe not we, but, you know, the majority of the fans, I'm not sure. I'm not, you guys think I'm a huge fan of Daniel Bryan. I like Daniel Bryan. I think he's got it in the ring. I do not think this is going to, I could be totally wrong about this, but I do not think that this is going to end up in ticket sales. I don't think that this is going, having him the head of the company, the face of the company, as they say, I don't think is going to spell out as well as the fans want to think it. They like the underdog story. They like when it wins. Because I just don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's what the fans really want. They say they want it. I don't think it is. I don't think they really, really want the story to end. I don't think they ever want it to end. But we're going to get a WrestleMania moment, and that's what I want. I want a WrestleMania moment. I want to be able to see 80,000 fans in the stadium all chanting yes at the same time with Daniel Bryan in that ring holding up the title. I do want to see it. I'm not going to lie. I do. Matt, what do you think? I thought it was really cool the way he added that stipulation at the end.
The whole time I'm watching, I'm trying to find a way to poop on it.
You can't, because I did it so well.
Yes, was it well done? Yes. The only fact that I wish they would have changed, and I like the whole concept, it worked out really well. I thought they did a really good job with it. I thought it was awesome. The only concept I think they should have changed was the two guys coming out for security was absolutely ridiculous. For the life of me, the whole entire time I've been watching Raw, they've always had those guys in the black shirt,
yeah,
face security,
other wrestlers,
to come out there.
Other wrestlers.
Correct.
Yeah.
But to have two guys and their older guys come out there is absolutely ridiculous. I thought it was just bull crap. They should have done a better job with that. But other than that, I thought it was great. I really did.
I thought Stephanie was awesome when she screamed at, when she flipped her lid. I was like, holy crap,
oh, yeah,
man.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, she was really good. So, yeah, I did really enjoy that, I have to say. It made my Raw night. It really did, because before it was like, oh, man, the product is so slow right now compared to last week. I'm like, oh, man, I got to get through this. Why do I have to get through this? Why am I doing this? Why am I watching this? And then all of a sudden, it was something different, something new, something out of the box, you know, something that was, and I think the thing that freaked people out was the crowd reaction. The crowd reaction was like, what the heck is going on? You know, the crowd reaction was literally shocked. And that, I think that translated in because it wasn't a loud crowd. They were very quiet almost the whole night. It was a really rough crowd. And this made them even more silent. It made them even more quiet when they started jumping the fence, jumping the barrier. And I think it really, really freaked people out a little bit. So yeah, I did really, really enjoy that. We all know he's going to beat Triple H. We all know he's going to move on to the main event, and we all know he's going to win the main event because that's what we asked for, and we're finally going to get what we want. The question is really that what we want? Is that?
I don't think he's going to win the event. I don't think he's going to win it. I think someone's going to come out, ruin it from the Authority, and then on Monday he'll get a rematch. I think that's what's going to happen.
Oh, you think they're going to wait till Monday?
Yeah.
The only reason why I disagree with that is that would make sense if he were to win versus Triple H and then there was no stipulation that he was supposed to be in the main event. That would make sense. Then the next night on Raw, he'd beat, you know, Batista or Randy Orton for the title on Monday Night Raw. Because Triple H would come out and be like, you know what? You gave it to me. That was an awesome WrestleMania moment. And so here is your title shot. Boom, there you go. Take it. Take it for what it is. It's a legit title shot. Here you go. But that's not what they're doing. So that's why I think they really do want to be able to play that WrestleMania moment over and over and over again on Daniel Bryan's career and all the WrestleMania vignettes they do all the time. So, all right.
Can I just mention one thing before we get off of?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, before we get off of Daniel Bryan, I just want to throw this out there and see what you think. What if, to make this storyline a little bit interesting, they incorporate the presence of HBK? Think about it. You got the guy who trained Daniel Bryan and the guy who ran all over the town, so to speak, with Hunter for years. And I think if you bring him in and you put him in this situation where he kind of has to choose favorites, or you get it to where he sort of is supporting or backing Daniel Bryan, and that kind of makes Hunter mad and he feels betrayed, I think that would definitely add something to the storyline.
I'm not sure if we need anything else to the storyline, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if we need
Maybe we don't need it, but it would at least add a more intriguing factor. You know, give a little bit more element than just, hey, I feel like you're screwing me all the time.
I do believe that they did not want to put Daniel Bryan in the main event. I really do believe that. I really believe that they realized this main event, everyone is going to take a shit on this main event. No one is going to want to deal with this main event at all. Nobody liked it. Nobody wanted to watch it. I think they saw all the Twitter reaction. I think they just came, finally just ate their crap sandwich that they made for themselves, and they finally ate it, and they're like, all right, fine. Let's put Daniel Bryan in the main event. You know, let's get people to watch this. This is our first WWE Network debut of WrestleMania. This is the first time we're doing this. We need to get subscriptions. We need to get this going. Let's do this. And that's why I think they pushed it up to this week. That's why I believe that I think it was a sound business decision based on their feedback that they got. I really do. So this is a little game I came up with. I'm editing as I go along. So this is a thing, since a lot of the wrestling fans out there like to take craps on what's going on, or like, you know, like to poo-poo on everything that's going on in the wrestling world. I like to see the good and the bad. I like to critique and see good in everything. Try to see good in everything. Try not to shit on everything all the time. So this is my game, if you're so good at it. So if you're so good at it, I want you guys to book a main event at WrestleMania. Okay? Just one main event at WrestleMania. We'll just go with one. And these are the guys you have. You've got Cesaro, Triple H, Randy Orton, Batista, Daniel Bryan, Kevin Nash, Goldberg, The Rock, Cena, and Sting. So I want you guys to pick two, three, or even four guys out of that. And tell me what you want. Right now, Exodus is up 2-1 versus Matt on points right now. I want you to tell me how you'd book the match and what's the outcome of the match. All right. Matt, why don't we go to you first?
It would be probably
Cesaro, Triple H, Randy Orton, Batista, Daniel Bryan, Kevin Nash, Goldberg, The Rock, Cena, and Sting.
I would probably pick Sting versus The Rock, two icons, selling tickets, making money at WrestleMania.
Just straight up like a rehash of Hogan?
Just like Hogan and The Rock was a huge main event for them. I would do the exact same thing with Sting and The Rock.
Yeah, I don't know. If you go back and watch that match, it was so popular. That match was so popular, but it wasn't the best match I've ever seen in the world. I mean, it was not that good of a match. It was just so popular. All right. I'll give you 3 points on that one. I'll give you 3 points. Exodus, what you got?
I think you have to do the match that everybody wanted to see in 99 but didn't get to, and we never got to. It's Stone Cold versus Goldberg. You get that at the main event, WrestleMania. Now, I know he did a horrible job with Brock, but I don't think he would do the same thing with Stone Cold. I think it would be a pretty good dynamic. I think that, you know, yeah, it's not going to be the most technical. It's not going to be a technical match. It's not going to be like a high-flying match with all these crazy moves, of course, and things that make us like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that he was able to do that. But it's not going to be one of those types of matches. But Stone Cold matches were never really that way, but they were always so good most of the time. And I think they would definitely put on a good match.
I don't know. Do you think that Stone Cold and Goldberg? I never really saw Goldberg gel with anybody. He would come out, he'd hit you a couple times, he'd jackknife powerbomb you or whatever, jackknife you or whatever he called it, and then he'd pin you. I mean, that's all he really did. He never really wrestled. He was never a good wrestler. And, you know, as much as everybody makes fun of Ryback because he looks a lot like him and he acts a lot like him, Ryback can actually wrestle. So, I don't know. I don't know if that would... Matt, what do you think about that? Stone Cold Goldberg, what do you think?
I think it'd be a good match. It's like Kendall said, back in the day, that's what everybody wanted to see. I wanted to see it, everybody wanted to see it. That was the number one draw in WCW, the number one draw in WWE. You know, it sells tickets. That's what it needs to do.
Yeah, I do remember when we were kids fighting with the WCW guys all the time and us talking about how good Stone Cold was and them talking about how badass Goldberg was. I do remember that. And us talking about, you know, if Stone Cold whooped Goldberg's ass and Goldberg whooped Stone Cold. I do remember. Yeah, okay. All right. I see what you mean. All right. I'm giving you 2 points on that one, X. All right.
All right.
That's all right. All right. So right now it's 4-3. Exodus over Matt. All right, so that's it for this week, guys. It's DSJNP on Twitter. It's DSJNP.com @gmail.com. Exodus, XEDUS, 4JC on Twitter. Please follow him. He comes by every week and gives his opinions on everything. Coming soon, DSJNP.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook.com/DSJNP. I want to thank everybody very much for coming and joining. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Exodus, once again for this week. We will see you guys later. Peace.